Welcome to It Matters. Thanks for joining us. It's Fun Friday, 10:16, and it's time to get into our movie reviews. Our movie reviews are brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured. You can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Here's Tim Lammers.
New in theaters is Creed III, the third and perhaps final film in the Rocky spinoff series. Michael B. Jordan is back as Adonis Creed, but Sylvester Stallone's Rocky Balboa is not. After appearing as the mentor of the son of Apollo Creed in the first two Creed films in 2015 and 2018. In Creed III, Adonis Creed is retired from fighting as a world champion and is promoting young new fighters. But his friend from the past, Diamond Damian Anderson, played by Jonathan Majors, resurfaces in Adonis's life after a long stretch in prison as the once promising fighter leans on his old friend to give him a shot at the title. Damian, though, is a dirty fighter with ulterior motives, and ultimately, he wants to face Adonis in the ring as payback for abandoning him when he went to prison for an incident that both were involved in while in their youth. While Michael B. Jordan, who also directs the film, is great as Adonis Creed, and Jonathan Majors is stellar as Damian, Creed III suffers from the same sort of predictability as the Rocky films did as the series went along. Sure, the fight scenes are expertly crafted, and there's some pretty moving drama woven within the storyline. But ultimately, you can see every big plot turn coming from the very beginning. Creed is not a great film, but it's just average to good. Creed III is new in theaters.
All right, so something worth seeing, but it just depends on how much you want to spend. Like, wait till you see it at home, or do you want to spend the money go to the movie?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no question when you see it on a big screen, it packs more punch, for the lack of a better word.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and one thing I noticed that was interesting with the sound, I mean, you always hear that echo in the arena when the announcer does their thing, and it echoes on the speakers, and it's interesting. It's like you feel like you're there in a sort of way.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, and then obviously you're just, depending on the theater system you're watching it in. I mean, the sound is all enveloping. I mean, the action is there. It's big. It's spectacular, like it should be. But one thing with the Rocky films and then the Creed films after those is that, you know, you can have an incredibly strong start like you did with Rocky. And Rocky II and even Rocky III, I mean, those were all great films. But after a while, they just kind of lose, you know, whatever punch, for the lack of a better word, that they had at the beginning. And certainly Creed was one of those films that had, really packed some serious wallop in the beginning in 2015 because this was a unique enough story. I mean, Rocky Balboa was mentoring the son of his late rival-turned-friend, Apollo Creed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was great in the first one, Stallone, and Michael B. Jordan was as Creed. And then there was a follow-up film that wasn't as good, but still good. And now it just kind of feels like, okay, we're just kind of falling back into the same sort of patterns that we've seen before.
And no Rocky in this one, right? No Sylvester.
Yeah, that was really disappointing to me. Because, you know, Sylvester Stallone is Rocky, and let's be honest, without Rocky, there's no Creed. And, you know, there are some behind-the-scenes going on, quote-unquote, allegedly, because we always got to cover ourselves
right
there, right?
Right.
Where Sylvester Stallone is, you know, pretty upset about, you know, unceremoniously being kicked to the curb for this picture.
Oh, I thought he would make the decision to not be in it. I thought he decided he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, well, who really knows? I mean, because I think both sides will tell you different stories, and that's why you have to go with the allegedly. But, you know, he still is a producer on this film, and obviously, you know, he has every right to be that producer because he essentially helped create this series.
Mm-hmm.
He made this series.
Right.
And so the disappointing thing, though, to me was the fact that there's one mention of Rocky.
Oh.
And it's so quick. And it's like, really?
I mean,
no mention of what happened to him. I mean, what's going on? How is he? What is his relation to this story? Nothing. So it seemed pretty suspicious to me. And so, yeah, that was really disappointing because as predictable as these films have become, et cetera, and, you know, I think that there are other characters that try to step in the shoes of what he does for this particular film, and they're great actors, don't get me wrong. I just think that having Rocky in there instead, it just would have had that much more meaning. Mm. And you don't get that here. You just don't. And so, yeah, I mean, I think probably part of the reason that there's really no mention of where Rocky's whereabouts are is that, who knows? I mean, maybe he will find another protege or something, another young boxer to mentor or something. I mean, maybe there are other, maybe he has ideas for other films. I don't know. But yeah, to me, it was just disappointing that he has pretty much zero involvement in this.
Yeah, that just feels, I don't know, feels icky. Because when you go to see those, you always expect to see him.
Well, you know, and it's kind of like somebody starting a company and next thing you know it, they're kind of asked to leave their own company.
Yeah, and I that part
bothers
me.
Once it grows
me.
And it becomes big and it becomes this monolith, it becomes this corporation, and all of a sudden the person that had the idea to begin with is asked to leave.
Yeah. You know? It's like, how can it
and
even
maybe
happen?
That's a way to, and again, this is all alleged, but, you know, apparently there were some beefs with other producers on the film, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you can look it all up. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm just going by what I've read. But, yeah, it's not good. It's just not good. And you can't have a even though it's Creed now, I get that, it's still a Rocky film. I mean, they still talk a lot about Apollo Creed, who was his first nemesis. And, you know, it's just too bad.
It is too bad.
But, you know, for what it is, I mean, they're trying to take it in a different direction. And, you know, because Stallone isn't involved, it just doesn't really feel as much like a Rocky sort of film anymore.
Right.
You kind of get the theme music at one point. And you get the one mention, and that's about it.
That was it. Well, maybe they really are going to turn a corner, and who knows, maybe the next one will be completely different and be like, okay, well, now we've already turned that corner, and maybe it'll be something that'll come out of the woodwork. Who knows?
Well, who knows? Yeah, I mean, look, I do admire the fact that, you know, like for the last one, instead of Ivan Drago, it was Ivan Drago's kid that was fighting Adonis. And, you know, story-wise, it made sense. I mean, he killed Apollo Creed in the ring. Ivan Drago did. But still, it kind of feels like a wash, rinse, repeat sort of thing.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just the same sort. It's like you can see those major plot turns in those original films just being sort of reconfigured, recalibrated, and just basically plugged into this film. So it's just that sort of predictability that you just see coming every major plot line along the film. Now, again, this is not to put down Michael B. Jordan as a director or an actor, or Jonathan Majors, who is stellar as this ex-prisoner who wants to get even with his old friend who betrayed him.
Okay.
That's a different sort of turn. I like that, but those motivations, you know, all that sort of stuff can only go so far. And ultimately, you're faced with the fights. You're faced with the principal characters involved with those fights.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it's very limiting in terms of, well, what do we do different here to separate this one from the other pictures?
Okay.
And it just doesn't seem like they do. You know, I've been describing it to people. It's an average to good film. It's not a great film. Michael B. Jordan is definitely have promise as a director. There were a couple scenes of boxing scenes in this that were different that I haven't seen before, and that's cool. I do appreciate that. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, I just feel like I've seen all of this before.
Yeah. Now, is this just in theaters, or is it also, like, out on Netflix or anything?
Just in theaters,
okay.
Yeah. And, again, I don't know how soon. You know, it seems like there's a faster track for them to get on streaming. I think that, look, it's the sort of film that fans are going to want to see. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to discourage boxing fans or Rocky fans from seeing it. It just, I have to give you my honest opinion of, you know, what these films are about and the turns they take. And I think that if you're a Rocky fan, you can't deny the fact that it can become limiting at some point. And this one does, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Well, let's turn to streaming services. Anything that you have seen that you want to tell us about?
Well, you know, it's so funny because I've been reading about, and funny, strange, not funny, funny, this Murdoch murder trial.
Oh, I know.
And talk about the timing with this Netflix series. It came out on the 22nd. It's a three-part docuseries, not only involving this this, you know, it didn't actually, it got to the point where they almost went to trial and it stopped because, you know, they wanted to get this thing out, obviously, before the trial started. But that's for this Southern attorney who seemed to hold sway over pretty much everybody in his area. And all of these incidents where there were murders and deaths surrounding this family, but yet nothing ever seemed to happen. They seemed to be untouchable.
Wow.
So this tells the story, obviously, of this, you know, the events leading up to this trial yesterday where there was a verdict delivered. And look, it's a news story. So, I mean, he was found guilty, and he comes off as guilty in this series. But there are other things. There are three other, one was more like a negligent homicide sort of situation. A couple of them were, one is a straight up murder. And the other one, it's again, well, was it an accident? What is it? You know, what was going on? And it is all covered in this fascinating documentary series called The Murdoch Murders, A Southern Scandal on Netflix. Boy, what an amazing Netflix has done some great documentaries, and this is just the latest in a long line of them.
Wow. And so all of this is relating to that family?
Or yeah, all to that family because, you know, the guy was up on trial for murdering his wife and one of his sons. Mm-hmm. And the series starts off with something that happened involving the son.
And there
was an accident. But, again, I guess, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to go coming off as a professional or anything like that. We'll talk to my sponsor, Mike Bryant, about that.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, there were some deaths involving him. There was a death involving one of the other sons. There was a death perhaps involving the wife. I mean, it seemed like a lot of people were getting dead around these people.
Oh, my gosh. And
it's just fascinating. It's just really, really fascinating. So, again, I would highly recommend it. You think, oh, it's a three-parter. They're all about 40 minutes long. So, in reality, it's about an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay.
But, you know, obviously they compartmentalize these things as a mini-series, limited series. Mm-hmm. And the way they break it up, it makes sense. You know, the first one goes into the situation with the youngest son, and then they go from there. But yeah, Kelly, you have to watch it. It is really, really fascinating stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm interested. It's sort of like I'm interested, but I'm not. Like, I hate hearing about things like this on the other hand, you know?
Yeah. I know. It's tough. I mean, but it's just sort of, look, it just seems with podcasts and everything, I mean, the true crime deal is huge.
Yeah.
And this is like a true crime, this is made for people that love that sort of stuff.
Right.
Love those mysteries and that shadow of a doubt that comes into things.
Okay.
Where the answers aren't so clear until you see somebody presenting evidence as such where you are able to form your own opinion about it. And then, you know, learning about what is behind people that have so much money and so much power and what they're able to do with that money and power. You know, so it's not just dwelling specifically on the murders or, you know, the alleged crimes themselves. Because, again, it's been reported, but I'm always leery about, you know, professing somebody's guilt or innocence.
I know.
Because you don't want to, you know, you're putting your opinion out there, you don't want it to come back on you, right?
Right.
So, again, all of it's allegations. You know, this guy was found guilty of murder in the case of the son and the wife being shot to death.
It's crazy, crazy stuff. Okay. Well, thank you very much for the movie reviews. I appreciate it. Tim Lammers with Movie Reviews, brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant. Seeking justice for the injured. You can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. And Tim will be back for us next week with more. You can also learn more about Tim Lammers and listen to a lot of his great interviews that he's done in the past by going to directconversations.com. It's a lot of fun. All right, Jim and Mike, the travel guys, have entered the building. So we're going to be hearing from them about some travels. We're also going to be hearing from Kate from the Tri-County Humane Society coming up at 10:40. We'll have news here at the bottom of the hour.